You're listening to The Food Fix, a podcast where we talk to innovators and policymakers on how to better feed the world. I'm your host, Gloria Nzeka. This year's State of Food Security and Nutrition in the World report, published by the United Nations Food and Agriculture Agency, reveals that hunger has been on the rise for the last 3 years. In this episode of The Food Fix, we spoke to Wellington Osawi, an agricultural economist from Nigeria, on some of the policies that could help alleviate hunger in Africa. Part of Wellington's work involves research on how to improve rice production in Nigeria. Hi, Wellington.
Hi, Gloria.
Welcome to The Food Fix.
Thank you so much.
Wellington, there's new data which has been put together by the United Nations Food and Agriculture Organization and other agencies which found that for the third year in a row, hunger has increased across the world. What can be done to address the issue of hunger, at least for the case of Africa?
Well, I think if you look at what has been happening over the years, particularly within the Africa continent, this was something that was foreseeable because security issues within the African continent and flooding and all sorts of climatic issues that we have been having. So food production actually happens within the nexus of good weather or climate, as it were, and then the soil in the context of Africa. And so when we have people not producing or not even producing at the optimal level and population is increasing, you expect that there will be hunger. You expect that people will not be eating the right amount of food that, and then the nutritious one also. And when the report came out that within the African continent, hunger is becoming the challenge, even though we know it has been there ever since. So I think what could be part of the solution would be, how do we make the average African farmer productive again? How do we provide the necessary incentives? How do we provide the necessary inputs to ensure that the local farmers, the smallholder farmers that produce the bulk of the food consumed within Africa, that are able to produce enough to feed the population? And that boils down to the issue of policies, government policies, support from donor agencies in terms of input access, good agricultural management practices, and then food are produced, and they are able to access the local markets to sell some of these commodities.
So if we could perhaps touch on one specific crop, I know rice is a crop that you've been studying as part of your work. What could be done in order to help the production, in order to make rice farmers more productive?
I think one of the first port of call would be to give access to modern variety of seeds, rice seeds, because based on my PhD research, I discovered that for most farmers within the sample areas where I worked in Nigeria, most of them are still using the traditional variety of rice seeds with a maximum productivity of about 1.5 tons per hectare compared to recent varieties that within Africa, within Nigeria, for instance, could get up to 4 tons per hectare. So if farmers have access to modern seed varieties at affordable rates, because sometimes some of these seed varieties are available, but they are not accessible, which is a challenge within the African continent. They have access to the right variety of seeds. They have access to other modern production inputs, for example, fertilizer, and then they have access to extension services for good management practices, good farm management practices. So combination of good variety of seed, good modern input, other input, for example, fertilizer, pesticides, and herbicides, and then combine that with good management practices. I believe that most farmers will at least be close to the optimal productivity level.
Earlier on, you mentioned that right now what's happening within the rice sector specifically is that there's an increase in land, but there's not an increase in actual production. Why is it that we're seeing that increase in land, but not necessarily in the way rice is produced?
Yeah, I think one of the issues would be that of policy. For example, most policies within the African continent, they're still pushing towards increasing the land area for production, which is good. It's not a bad policy to pursue. But the challenge with that is the population is increasing. As you know, by 2050, the world population will be over 9 billion. Presently, we are over 7 billion. And within the Africa continent, the annual growth rate in terms of population is over 200%. So if you estimate the total population of Africa now, that is almost 3 billion, you can tell that, yes, the population is increasing. And if we want to increase the land area, there are a lot of development also happening. And so that is taking a lot of farmlands. And so if we want to increase, provide enough food, our focus should be more of how do we make the available arable land more productive rather than just increasing the land area for production. All right? So if, for example, if we take a commodity like rice that we have been talking about, if you have a modern rice seed that could do up to 5 tons per hectare and farmers have access to that and they have access to the other complementary inputs, they can produce that 5 tons per hectare. But if the policy is targeting increase in production in terms of increasing land acreage, you could have them use the traditional variety that could do 1.5, 2 tons per hectare, and they will need to arrive at 5 tons per hectare by having up to three hectares of farmland. So I would rather pursue a policy that looks at increasing productivity per land area rather than increasing the total land area for production across all different commodities, not just rice, cassava, yam, most of the major staple in terms of food consumption.
What will it take to make sure that the right policies are being implemented? Because, as you said, world hunger, especially when we're looking at Africa, it's been there for quite a while. And these are things we've been talking about for years. But why is it that we haven't arrived to the place where we see the implementation of right policies?
Yeah, I think that was one of the burning questions I had when I started my PhD work. I discovered that there are a lot of research going on, and most of this research I just kept in the on the shelf, and none of them is informing policy. And so I wanted to do something that will actually inform policy positively and then empower local smallholder farmers. So I think, yes, for most of African countries, we have some of these policies. But I think one challenge is policy implementation. The political will by the African leaders to ensure that policies are implemented, well executed, and there is a follow-up evaluation to inform future policies. I'll take Nigeria as an example. Before this current administration, we had a policy on agricultural transformation to transform the agricultural sector such that farmers are actually at the driver's seat of any policy implementation, and that was successful. But just before the expiration of that policy implementation, we had a new government, and they came up with another policy, and that is agricultural promotion policy. It was tagged the green alternative. Yeah, and this, as it were, was to build on the previous policy, which was agricultural transformation. Be that as it may, if you look at implementation, we have this good paperwork, yet there is this disconnect that you are implementing a policy without having to understand what some of these farmers are going through. So I feel that if we have the political will, the resources are there, as it were, and make sure that our policies is not top-down, but bottom-up, in terms of bringing these stakeholders together during policy formulation, ensuring that you understand some of the issues they are going through while formulating your policy, so that any policy that comes out actually is addressing a particular need within the commodity value chain. So if we have this policy framework, even though we have them, but execution is our issue. But if we are able to follow this through to type, I am sure that we'll make a headway in terms of understanding what these farmers are going through and then targeting those issues, whether in terms of their welfare, in terms of having access to modern inputs for production and also for processing within the value chain nodes, and giving them access to available markets that some of these commodities can also be sold.
Is there anything in terms of the work that you're doing right now that we should address as far as malnutrition and food security is concerned?
Yes, I think my work, apart from the fact that I had to narrow it down to rice production, I also look at the issue of farmer livelihood. terms of livelihood sustainability. Over 70% of the food that we eat, using Nigeria as an example, is produced by smallholder farmers. And some of these farmers are aging. The youth population is increasing, yet very few of them are interested in agriculture. And if you look at the challenges that some of these smallholder farmers face in terms of producing enough food for the market and to sustain their livelihood, some of the policies we have are not looking at this angle. So I think one of the things I've tried to advocate is the involvement of youth in agriculture, how to encourage youth participation. When we talk about agriculture, the first thing that comes to the average youth mind is farming. But farming is just an aspect of agriculture. There are a lot of international organizations that are doing good work in this area. IITA, there are a bunch of youth that they train on them on agribusinesses. So if our policies also look at how to bring out new sets of agriculturists, not necessarily students of agriculture, but those who are interested in the business of agriculture, which is agribusiness, across the value chain, so that we have enough food to feed our growing population. Because, as it were, there's a correlation between food security and political security, as it were. When people have enough food to eat, they may not be involved in some other criminality and all our vices that we see around. So if we have enough food, we reduce unemployment by encouraging youth involvement in agriculture. And that's all points down to encouraging people to enter into agriculture by encouraging access to some of these productive inputs. Once they know that we can have access to enough input to farm, we have the land, the security of land, people will be encouraged to go in. And when they are encouraged to go into production, some other folks want to go into processing and into marketing, and there will be enough food to eat. At least we'll be working towards alleviating hunger and food insecurity around the world.
Well, Wellington, thank you so much for your time. It was a pleasure having you on the Food Fix.
Thank you so much, Gloria. It's a pleasure being here.
What food and agricultural policies do you think can help relieve hunger in your region? Email us with any questions or comments at foodfixpodcast@gmail.com or leave them in the comments section below this post. The Food Fix is a project of the Ignite Center for Environmental Journalism at Michigan State University. My name is Gloria Nzega. Thanks for listening.